Please turn to hymn number 45. And let's see. We're divided up pretty well here. And would you please turn to verse 26? Verse 26. Now you'll notice this hymn is divided up into Roman numeral 1 and Roman numeral 2. See that? It's like driving a car. This side of the chapel is Roman numeral 1, and you are Roman numeral 2. Okay. There are a couple of spots in the piece where both voices sing together, but we're starting on 26. It's not a difficult hymn, but it's unfamiliar. So, and also this playing back and forth. And you have to have a little bit of competition here to make this work. So, 26, you guys start at number 1. And then number 2. And then everybody on this very broad. So can we try that, please? O Lord, we put. 2, 3. And then together. Try that once again, so when we get there, when we're actually singing it, we've got a good strong ending. Ready? And 1. Now go up to stanza 22, or verse 22 rather. Okay, play it once. Okay, try that. That wasn't horrible, but let's try it again. Yeah, it's the transitions back and forth are what make it very interesting, but a little bit stumbly at first. Day. And now I'll play 23. In fact, let's sing the text for 25. Show us thy mercy. 1, and sing. Yeah, do that again, and this time we're going to go just start 26, so we get that transition. And sing. Yeah, good, you got it, you got it. Now, let us go up to 12. Oh, I thought somebody said something. So listen again, I'll play it, and this is number 12. Loves to sing the word paraclete. We don't get to sing it very often, but it refers, of course, to the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's role as our comforter, right? So here we go. Number ones, you get the paraclete. Number twos, you don't. One and go. And then let's do 13. All right, here we go, number ones. Oh, let's do 12 and 13 once again, please. And here we go. And then flip to 19. Go back to the very beginning. Verse 5, where we sing the Sanctus here. Ready? And holy is. And of course, the word Sabaoth does not mean Sabbath. It means the armies of heaven. The Lord of the armies of heaven. We talked about the angels yesterday, and this hymn speaks a lot about the angels and the different ranks of the angels. So let's do the opening phrase. Here we go. And we'll go and do verse 2 then as well. One and go. You see how it's laid out. There are a lot of sections that repeat. So with the repetition, by the time we get to like the sixth repetition, you'll probably know it very well. Now, the text of the Te Deum, Chaplain Molstead spoke to us, was it last week about that, I think? It's not the oldest hymn of the church, but it is pretty old, and considered to be very important, almost to the status of being a creed. And the reason for that, of course, is that it proclaims what God has done for us, and more interestingly, who God is. You know, yesterday we had that idea of what questions we're going to be asking when we get to heaven. And understanding this mystery of God, the Holy Trinity, even though it's the absolute cornerstone of Christianity, is something that's you can't explain it. Through the centuries, the church has tried, and usually it's ended up in being lots and lots of words, but you still have to step back and say, how can this be? And whoever wrote this text was answering that question based on the teachings of Scripture and the Orthodox teachings of the church. Ortho, you know, if you go to the orthodontist, you need to get your teeth fixed, right? Straightened out. And if I asked you all to stand and sing the doxology, you would all stand and sing praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so orthodoxy is correct praise. That's and telling God the truth, returning to God the truth that he's given to us. The text is very mighty. We're invited to go into the throne room of God in heaven and see the angels and the cherubim and the seraphim and all of the powers, the invisible powers. Then we're also invited into heaven to see that the vision of John, with the apostles are there, the saints, the martyrs, those who gave their lives for the church. It's very majestic. And Luther understood this text in that way, not just that it's a majestic poem, but also that it proclaims the truths of Christianity so clearly. which is why he wanted the people to be able to sing it in their own language. The school children in the Latin schools would have sung the Te Deum in Latin, but he wanted them to be able to sing it in German as well, so that those people that didn't know Latin could join in. When it was first done in the church there in Wittenberg, it happened probably like this. There was a little boy in the front that sang part one, and then the rest of the boys were mixed in with the congregation to help them sing part two. And sometimes we know that even the little boy was allowed to go into the pulpit, which wasn't always in the front like it is here, but it was a lot of times right about there on the side of the church or here on the side of the church. So he could be up there singing beautifully, and then everybody else would join in. So that's where it came from. And if it sounds old, it's because it is. The melody that Luther chose to use is one that he dug up from probably his youth and certainly the attic of the Gregorian chant that he had available at his fingers. He did many things that were new musically in the church. He also had a great appreciation for the previous 1,000 years of music in the church, and he didn't want to throw it out. And in fact, he wanted to make it so that the people could join into it and grab it as their own. So that's what happens with this text. So there's a little bit of history behind it, but there's a tremendous amount of theology in it. And good theology sometimes is hard work, even for children. And so let's stand up and work hard, all right? Remember, you're number one, you're number two. Here we go. Thank you. And may God, the Holy Spirit, keep the new song of the gospel in our hearts and on our lips. Have a wonderful Thursday.